And I'll come back to that, but just a lovely hello, and it's great to see some new faces, and just a bit of an update of what I've been up to. So I'm on my gap year at the moment before I head off to uni in September. And for the last 5 months or so, I have been out in the mountains in France with these fellow, we're called altitudeers. So we have been working or serving with Altitude Mission, which is a Christian charity with a vision to show God's love to those on the mountain in Meribel. Here's a team picture of us one evening. So we did lots of outreach work in a variety of ways. One of these was as ski angels. So I think the next picture shows us, there we are, in our yellow coats. So we would go and stand outside the Après ski bars, which are halfway up the mountain, which means, as you can imagine, when you've enjoyed yourself at the Après ski bar, you then have to get down the mountain again. And often people are not in the best state to do this. So we are there just to help them, often carrying people and carrying skis up to the lift, which is like quite a steep climb up to the lift. So we're there just to carrying a lot of skis, a lot of people, giving directions, and then sweeping the slopes afterwards to make sure everybody has got down safely. And then we go down to a lower bar and do the same thing before heading home. So we were doing that every day of the season. And we were also there for the seasoners, so that's the workers who are there for the whole winter season, and often it's their first time away from home. So there are lots of, especially in December, because the French border was closed, it meant that lots of people lost their jobs or there were changes in jobs, and so we provided just a place of rest and welcome people in. We also had refuge beds, which were free to the workers, so they could come if they didn't have any plans and just needed a place to stay for a couple of nights just to figure out their next plans. And we also had beer and burger evenings and other social events every week. So that was very popular, free beer and burgers at our chalet. And that was specifically a time not to preach at people at all. It was just about building relationships with them. And it was really interesting to see that the more we didn't talk about God at all, the more people were asking, like, how is this free? What is your faith? What do you believe? It was a really great, great time for some good conversations. And then finally, we also ran the church, which was a great opportunity to practice different roles and learn and grow in our spiritual gifts. And we did all of this alongside having guests stay in the chalet. So we were also doing a bit of food prep and cleaning and chalet maintenance. And we got to ski. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all hard work. And so one of the Bible studies that we did, we actually looked at this passage. And it really stood out to me because of the words directly in the passage saying, in his presence. So I'll read it out again now. Hopefully you can follow along. So, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So this passage talks about how we rest our hearts in his presence. So I thought it was first a good idea just to look at why we need to do that. Why should we rest our hearts in his presence? So to rest our hearts in God's presence, it creates a good environment and foundation to be able to build the relationship that he designed for us to have with him. One where we recognize that he is the creator of the universe And living in the mountains for 5 months really does remind you how physically small we are compared to the world around you. But a healthy relationship forms when we're comfortable to come into his presence, resting in him. Now, we were encouraged throughout the season to have daily quiet times, to read the Bible, pray, and just spend time being in God's presence. But for a lot of the season, I did really struggle with this. At times, I felt like I wasn't connecting to God or I wasn't hearing from him, and I was easily distracted in these times. I didn't feel like my heart was resting, even though I was physically still. And I later realized that this was due to how I approached these quiet times. I felt that I wasn't in a good enough state, or I wasn't righteous enough to come to God. But this is so far from what he wants, because you don't have to have everything sorted or be completely blameless to come into God's presence. He loves you just as you are, with all your faults, and he wants to meet with you. And I know this might sound like a classic Sunday school message, but it's so important, and I feel like I have a new understanding of what this really means. And when we rest, we put our full weight down. I don't know if you can think of a time when you've just, rested. Maybe it's coming back from work and you take off the heavy rucksack and your shoulders are a lot lighter and freer, or you're just lying down on the sofa and all the tension's relieved. That feeling of relief is similarly experienced when we rest our hearts in God. That sense of fulfillment, satisfaction, and peace. So, how do we rest our hearts in him? In the passage, we're given a command, and it has two parts to follow. So the first being to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and the second being to love one another. But I think it's helpful to understand what humility is before looking into both of these. So I like looking at definitions of words. I think it helps to clarify terms or just to gain fuller understanding. And so the word for humility often used in the Bible is the Hebrew word anava. And now this literally means to take up your God-given space. So this isn't about overestimating or underestimating yourself or your abilities. It's about taking up your exact God-given space. Not taking up so much space that you'll push others out, but you also don't take so little space that your responsibilities are falling to others. It's about being aware and being comfortable with your place in the world. And I think this is very freeing for everyone, that you're not constraining yourself or others. And there's something so comforting and liberating, knowing that God has claimed a space for you already. One of the top English definitions for the word humility is freedom from pride and arrogance. And pride is seeing our way as the best way. In this mindset, we almost become our own God. And this pattern of behavior goes right back to the Garden of Eden. And I think Andy touched on this in his talk a few weeks ago, that humanity's whole downfall was due to pride. Adam and Eve are told that they mustn't eat the fruit. If they do, they will be like God, knowing good and evil. Yet we know that the fruit was eaten, and after, they became so shameful that they hid from God, and the guilt clung to them, and it can cling to us too. Shame is binding and constraining, and it condemns us. And we feel that guilt because we know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. We feel guilty and ashamed because we know we've not followed the right way, and often our conscience tells us. In this state, we feel restless. But God, who is so much holier than us, knows our hearts and how our hearts condemn us, and sees all of our mess. And he sent his son Jesus, the perfect picture of humility. He was fully human, subjected to the pains and realities from our broken world. And he took all our shame and guilt for us on that cross and cleared our name. We can fully rest everything onto Jesus because he took the full weight of us and our sin onto that cross, and he died and he rose again. And all we must do is believe in Jesus Christ, and we are freed from shame and guilt, and our hearts become pure. And now that doesn't necessarily mean that we won't still feel guilty or our consciences accuse ourselves and our hearts condemn us, but we need to remind ourselves that, as it says in verse 20, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. His voice of assurance and hope, and the hope and freedom that we have through Jesus, is stronger than that accusing voice of our conscience. We can come to Jesus with our burdens and put our full weight onto him, because through him we have freedom from guilt and shame. And when you understand that God's love is so much greater than your shame, then you are loved and accepted just as you are, then you can take up your God-given space and so truly rest. And through living out the first bit part of the commandment, to believe in Jesus Christ, knowing that we have pure hearts and can comfortably take up our God-given space, then the second part of the commandment, to love one another, becomes automatic. We live in the truth of Jesus, and so we are lights of the world. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And as Christians, we are clearly called to be lights of the world and let our light shine before others. This light is a reflection of the love that we have through Jesus. Being in the place where God wanted us to be, in a relationship with him, results in just an overflow of love, which is present in all we do. And this is how we can shine our light and love others, just as the light of the world, Jesus, loves us. And this is how we fulfill the second part of the commandment, to love one another. We can do this fully when we're not clouded by our shame, but when we rest in the truth of God's overwhelming love. In verse 18, it says, "Let us not love with words or speech, but in actions and in truth." And during my season, I started to understand this more. Being a light and loving others in what we do, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do huge, grand acts of kindness every day, even through seemingly small acts of kindness, which are just fueled by God's love, such as helping find someone's skis. People became really intrigued about why we have this love and where it comes from. And this just provides an easy way to sow seeds and talk about our faith and the love that Jesus has for us. So, what does this mean? Going back to the idea of us being like a city on a hill, which was in the previous verse, I think it's interesting to look at Psalm 132, verses 13 to 15, which says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his dwelling, saying, 'This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food.'" And this shows us that when we occupy the space that God has chosen for us here, like the city of Zion, then God chooses to rest there too. He has desired it for his dwelling, and he provides. And this shows how when we draw close to him, He draws close to us too. Verse 24 says, "The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them." And his choice to dwell in our presence means that we can have a more intimate relationship with God, and we're able to more fully receive the Holy Spirit who guides us. So despite a rapidly changing and restless world that we live in, the one place we can find true rest is when we take up our God-given space. We spend time drawing near to him, whether that's through worship, praying, reading our Bible, because when we draw near to him, he draws near to us, and we can truly rest our hearts in his presence. And so I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and we're going to sing a song which might be new to us here, but I learned it, they taught me out in France, and it's called Highlands, and it talks about mountains, which was quite relevant to being in the mountains, and so I just love how this song talks about God's faithfulness.